I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm John Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing and happy Friday. It is the weekly podcast supported by you. Bless you for keeping us going during these dark times when no matter how insane the world around us might get, when things outside the bubble just seem to be a cacophony of madness and lights and anger right here in the little thingiverse, it's still nice.
What Molly's trying to say is it's bat country, but you can shelter in this place.
Exactly. I don't know where you got the bat country thing, by the way, but it's hilarious.
It's bat country comes from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the Hunter S. Thompson book, and it was also in the movie. Justin Robert Young started using it a couple weeks ago to describe our current state of affairs, and I find it perfectly apt.
That is apparently, it seems that it may also be a song, even.
Yes, oh my goodness. Believe there is a song. Yeah.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. All right, well, yeah, whatever that is, it's this, for sure.
Well, and that leads me to something important when you're driving through bat country, which is to remain calm. And my first thing is all the different ways people are marketing calm right now. We've actually talked about like the soothing bedtime stories before, and there's lots of like meditation channels that are like super popular on YouTube right now, and to the point that a millennial and younger focused news organization called Now This, you may know them, nowthisnews.com, is going to counter program election coverage by partnering with the meditation app Calm to create a live stream of breathing exercises, meditative activities, and peaceful nature footage from all 50 states.
Oh my God, this is amazing and brilliant. The New York Times actually has a thing today that I may have talked about on my other show that's like a stress reliever that's just sort of a little interactive of like cute videos and nature footage and everything.
No, it's everybody's doing
it. Goodness.
Like, you want to make a dime? Do something calm because you're going to get a lot of people.
Because people are freaking out. Yeah, the flip side of when we talked about how anxiety is a thing is trying to calm your anxiety so that you do not actually stroke out over the election situation.
Yeah.
Is the inevitable follow-on thing.
And that's why we'll be doing the rest of the show in this voice.
That's right. The live stream will begin at 5:30 p.m. Eastern on Election Day. On Now This Is Facebook and YouTube pages. Why would they put their calm stream on the Facebook page? You can't go to Facebook to be calm.
Well, no, that's the perfect place, right? Because that's where you're going to most need the calm. So they want to put it near you.
That's amazing. I love it. And also, I'm totally with producer Rich, who says in the Discord, the more I'm hearing calm, the weirder it's sounding.
Yeah. Preach it, Rich.
Which is very true. Everyone is looking for some kind of fun to be had, some little tiny bit of normalcy. And right now, all our hopes are pinned on trick-or-treating in some ways. And I knew this was a thing when the third email from my neighborhood group arrived in my inbox saying, don't worry, everyone, we made a candy shoot.
So this is a thing in your neighborhood.
Yeah. It's like not even just a thing nationally, and it is a thing nationally, but it is a local thing. I have at least three confirmed emails and physical sightings of candy shoots, which is, for those of you who have not followed this extreme thingness around Halloween, it's so, like, talk about a COVID, talk about adaptation. Like, I covered climate adaptation. This is a COVID adaptation. So basically, you take like a cardboard tube that's about 6 feet long, and you can use it to give kids candy if they're out trick-or-treating. A lot of people are just putting them, if they have a railing that is slanted, they're putting it on the railing, and then they can just like shoot the candy down the railing out at the kid. Mine's going to be more of a, should I manage to put one together between now and tomorrow, I'll be more like Well, I guess it's not that good if it's like a spitball or blowtorch.
Air gun. Then I think you should just fire.
Air gun.
Yeah.
Oh, good idea. Like a t-shirt gun.
Yeah. Exactly.
That would be amazing. But yeah, I don't know who came up with the candy chute, but it's freaking genius. And it is everywhere. It's everywhere.
I shouldn't be surprised, but I was caught a little flat-footed because I assumed that nobody was going to do Halloween, that it just was not, you know, it was going to be a very private thing. But I love that people are like, nope, you just need to keep 2 meters away. So let's make a 2 meter long candy chute and everybody's happy, right?
Shoot. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. And then there's like there's a little ghost. Now that people have created accessories, like apparently there's a little ghost you can buy and it's like place buckets here. So they don't start going up the stairs and then it comes down the chute into the candy. Into the buckets. So adorable. Like I do love that people are like, come on, we got to have this.
We will not let it defeat us.
I do not have a stair like situation to make this work. So I think I'm going to do 3 separate bowls of candy out on a sidewalk and then draw the little lines. But I'm hoping that I have orange chalk so I can draw them to look like little pumpkins. Like, you know, stand 6 feet away to get your candy.
So then they help themselves?
Yeah, they help themselves.
Okay.
I don't care. You know, like, fine, hog it.
Yeah, some teen or other is going to come up because I did this once. That's why I know this is going to come along and just like try to empty the thing. But
pick it up and empty it. I don't care. I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm going to probably like what I was thinking is I might just sit on the porch, you know, with my friends and my pod, not my friends.
Yeah,
but like
that'll help.
Sit there on the pod on the porch with the pod in my costume and just like wave at kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's all gone, go inside. Because dang it, we got to have something. Candy chute. And you can tell like the candy chute is the purest expression of got to have something. And I love it. It's so cute.
I like at Porter's suggestion of creating your own candy chute with empty White Claw cans.
Hey, there we go.
Which you will have just drunk as you carved your pumpkin, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Because you are nothing if not a Halloween hipster.
My next thing is a resurgent thing. It was coined, I think, maybe like 8 years ago. I've heard about it before, but it seems to be making a reappearance. I'm seeing it in a few places. It's Cozy Boys. This is not any kind of organization. Don't worry. It's a description of men in comfortable clothing who just like to stay home.
So
kind of an offshoot of Hygge.
Like, dude, if I'm being 100% honest, that's every man I know over 40. I don't know if it just happens to all of them at the same time.
Well, and I think it's having a resurgence now as lockdown meets Northern Hemisphere winter. But combine that with slowing down and getting tired. Yeah, you got yourself a friend.
Oh, man, I love it. Where's your verification of this?
Oh, just do a search. Do a search. You'll find it.
I found it like an Instagram that seems to be a band, but.
Oh, yeah. No, don't. It's not the band.
Yeah.
Although the band named themselves after the trend, but the trend is making a comeback.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Cozy Boys of the World. Put on your cashmere. Snuggle up on from the couch.
Oh, my God. Unite. Look at that. October 30th from Cozy Boys to brunch. This week's fashion trends.
There you go.
Look at you. What's hot and not in fashion this week?
But I just keep seeing people mention it here and there.
I have not seen this and I love it. And I'm, believe me, not going to doubt you because these are always the Tom things. These are always the things that you bring that I'm like, really? Where'd you find this? And then boom, like huge.
Yeah.
AKA men in cashmere and hoodies who don't like going out ever. Oh, that's incredible. Yep.
Yes. No, Rich wrote, I'm in the glorious season where I slither between 2 fisherman sweaters or different fisherman sweaters for 6 months. That's the cozy boy life right there.
Oh my God. That sounds like a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just happy my dad now has a name. No, I'm just kidding. No, but what seems to be the change actually from men of a certain age who are still like living this life in their chinos and button downs, aka my father, is the cashmere and hoodies.
And I think it's getting younger. I think it's becoming a
yeah,
thing
seems like it.
To do, not just a result. of arthritis.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that is delightful. I like Cozy Boys. That's great. Mm-hmm. In what I can only assume is a sort of a desperate attempt to make Twitter less hellhole, like a whole trifecta of thing memes have popped up just in the last week, like so many that I couldn't even keep up with them. I started the week with which one has to go, mm-hmm. because of course there was like the Chris drama, and then which one has to go, you know, was like cake edition and like carb edition and band edition and on and on and on. And then, you know, come like yesterday and Wednesday, it was supplanted by the Kardashian Island meme. Oh, which yeah. you probably saw.
Well, I actually used it as a tease for Good Day Internet because it was breaking out right then when I was writing it. I was like, oh, I decided to treat all my friends to a live stream.
Yes, exactly. And then it was people with all the different... the last one got a little overused, but people's photos of like the type of island. And then that was... And then sort of as an undercurrent of both of those has been the where it started and how it's going meme. The sort of like before and after photo meme. And all of them... are just happening all the time on Twitter right now. And I think much to I'm going to circle all the way back to how we started the show. I think, well, look at you, that they are meant to be some sort of humorous counter programming in the hellscape that is otherwise Twitter right now. And frankly, I appreciate it. And I had a lot of fun with the carbs one.
With the carbs. How it's going.
Which one has to go carbs edition?
Oh, which one has to go carbs?
It was edition. Like uh-huh. bread, pasta, rice, or hold on, I gotta go.
I like has the one in your Twitter search that's Montauk cookies or Entenmann's cookies. Which one has to go and which one has a date with a glass of milk?
Nice. Oh, potatoes was the other one. Yeah. Pasta, rice, bread, and potatoes. One has to go. Which one? Yeah, tons of them. Tons of them. And normally, like, I mean, actually what this really is a whole category of thing, which is basically just like Twitter bait. Mm-hmm. And then you retweet it and whatever. And I'm surprised that no one has managed to monetize this yet. Or maybe they have.
It's kind of along the lines of the, you know, like the last thing you tweeted and the street you grew up on exactly. is your something name.
Is your politics name or yeah, your stripper yeah. name or the whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Actually, I really liked the like one that was like, your name 2020 and the last thing you said out loud is your campaign slogan. Because the last thing I had said out loud at that point, because I was outside with my dogs in the backyard, was don't eat that. It's
amazing. I know I had one that was like super duper mom. I can't remember what it was. I typed it out and I was like, I can't even. Because it was literally like, you need to, you know, put some deodorant on and finish your homework.
I'm sorry. It's a great campaign slogan.
Sorry. Eminem. Okay, this is a difficult one. M&M's, gummy bears, rock candy, or candy corn? Which one has to go?
Candy corn staying. M&M's, gummy bears, rock candy. Rock candy simply because I don't eat it a lot. Not that I don't like it, but I wouldn't
miss it. It's a commitment, doesn't come too. Up much. It's like a super duper commitment. Mm-hmm. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they're everywhere, and it's hilarious. And they're like increasingly nerdy and adorable, like, four versions of Zelda. Which is amazing.
Now I think the audience needs to thank us for not really? Just having all four of our things be Baby Yoda.
I mean, dude, because they really could have been.
They could have easily done that. Yeah.
We could have just had one show. And the show was basically just me. I go, Baby Yoda. And then Tom goes,
Baby Yoda will save us all.
And then I go, Baby Yoda will save us all.
So say we.
Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda is back.
Baby Yoda's back. Have you watched yet as of this recording?
Not yet. I'm saving it for the end.
I watched this morning before Eileen was even awake because I'm like, I ain't getting spoiled. And then she had the day off. So she was glad when she found it. I was like, I watched it, but I'll watch it again. She's like, no, I want to watch it while you're working. I had nothing to do.
Oh, nice.
I might watch it.
By the way, This Is the Way became a thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I know.
It did.
Yeah. I didn't think it would last as long as it did. I was sort of like, oh, I'm totally going to say that, which I say about a lot of things. And then sure. they sort of fall out. But I still see it a lot of places. And I love it.
Stuck around. Yeah.
I know. No, I've been basically just like, kind of all day. Like I was earlier, I was packing and I was like, maybe I'll watch it while I pack. And then I was like, no.
You gotta watch it. Watch it.
I know. Yeah. I put Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on while I packed.
Because yeah, that's the more appropriate
episodes. So many episodes.
Let's get to your things. Feedback from Georgiana, who writes, thank you for all you are doing. I'm a podcast binger and listen during my early morning walks. I cannot face news right now, and your show is a bright way to start my day. Oh, thanks, Georgiana. She says, Molly, you were sorely missed when the topic of teen snacks came up. It was clear that no one in the conversation had teens at home. First, Lay's chips. Far from bland, Lay's has been introducing very weird flavors like fried pickle with ranch and rich fragrant toffee. This is a marketing thing that is best compared to men's dress shirts. They always roll out a purple or chartreuse version, but then sell a heck ton of plain white and light blue shirts. Lay's is aiming right at the kids with borderline gross flavors.
Oh my God. Can confirm.
All right.
Without a doubt.
Thank you, Georgiana. And second, Chick-fil-A. They've had a long policy of carefully screening when hiring their mostly teenage staff. They do a lot of support the teens, limiting work hours, getting updates on grades. If a kid falls off at school, they get fewer work hours. There's no documentation on this next point, but I have a theory on cuteness. The kids are attractive and moderately to very successful in school. I'm sure there are countless hours spent in long drive-through lines hoping to exchange a few words with their latest crush. This is no accident, plus waffle fries.
Oh my God, that is the most insidious conspiracy theory of all time, right? That they're cute for customers. They're bait. That is hysterical and probably true.
I wouldn't put it past. That's one of those side effect things where you're like, oh, we should hire teens and support grades because it's good for our image. It'll be good publicity and people eat here more. Also, teen crush.
Exactly. Also, bonus.
Yeah.
This next email has an editorial note at the top, and I don't know who it came from. It says, Matt wrote in an extremely good email. So let's see what it says. Hi, it's a thing crew. A few episodes ago, Rich proclaimed Flight Sims a thing, and he is absolutely right. Huh. Oh, I see. What a good email. I've been on a flight. I've been a flight sim guy since I was a kid in the 90s. So of course, when the new one came out in September, I jumped on it. After playing with my existing joystick, for a while, I realized it was inadequate and started looking for a new one. However, flight controls all over the internet are either out of stock or priced ridiculously high. True. For example, one controller I was looking at is listed at $160 on Logitech's website, but out of stock, while it's currently listed as $274 on Amazon. I think I'll have a little patience and let prices come down and stock replenish.
That is true. You know what? The flight sim thing keeps coming up for me, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is not just a thing, but an enduring thing, and a thing that I would never have thought of. And it was like, it went crazy.
Yeah. They were just talking about this on the SMR podcast, all the way the flight sim community is like driving innovation or driving sales of graphic cards, all that sort of thing.
Really fascinating. Yeah. Sounds like a story for somebody.
It might be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Christine needs a thing check.
Thing check.
She writes, Hi Tom and Molly, I recently joined Imgur to try to get my cute dog fix away from Instagram, and the comments are full of things that seem like they might be language things. Two that caught my eye are using the word sauce instead of source, and using upper and lowercase letters to show sarcasm or like crazy people talking. Example would be wear your mask. And the answer is, but my freedom, where the U, the Y, and the E and the D are capitalized. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all your work and helping me pretend I'm still cool. Well, Christine, first of all, it's not pretend. You are cool. And
you're cool.
I can confirm the crazy people sarcasm thing with the inner caps. Totally. I have not noticed the sauce source thing myself.
Me neither. But it's possible that I'm not on that many places where they use the word source. I don't know. Sauce instead of source. All right. Well, we're going to need to outsource.
Right.
Outsource. Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to outsource the first thing we cannot confirm. But the second one, for sure, I can also say I've seen that all over. And I see it. I was almost wondering, too. I was like, is it a way to defeat, like, search bots or something? Because people will use it when it's a controversial name. Like, I see it applied to Elon Musk a lot.
Okay. Maybe they're just
implying. And then I also, but maybe, right. Like, maybe what I didn't realize is that it means, like, no, you're.
Yeah, he's a little off. Well, there you go, Christine. One confirmed and one waiting on our outsourced audience to confirm.
And then finally, Paul wrote in with a thing combination that I cannot unsee. And he says, combining the inflatable paddleboards and Borat things from last week, here is the inflatable Borat barge, which appeared in the Toronto Harbor Front area last Thursday. I'm going to go ahead and encourage you, even though this is going to be on our show notes, because that is a service that Producer Rich provides for you and all of us, you don't have to click it.
I would go farther and say, don't click.
It's a lot. You know, I'm going to go ahead and say, don't click it.
Yeah. That is, I mean, you do what you want. We're not going to tell you what to do with your life. Our advice click is it. Don't click it.
If you must,
yeah.
You know, yeah, just
kids
be prepared.
Permission from your parents.
You can't unsee that.
I mean, it's Borat. What are you expecting?
Oh, it really is. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can become a patron and supporter of the show at any level. Should you choose to support us at the shout out level, it will be a lot of fun for all of us.
Indeed. We got shout outs this week, as always, developed by our fine producer, Rich Straffolino. These are in the style of AKC dog breed descriptions.
I've never been happier.
So here we go. This is Lee Price, loyal, curious, and famously amusing. This patron is fearless, out of all proportion to size. As with all great comedians, it's Lee's apparent seriousness of purpose that makes her antics all the more amusing.
Kevin Sill is a little but well-muscled patron, once employed as a hunter. Today, the spirited, good-natured Kevin is the most popular companion patron in Japan. Huh. The adaptable Mr. Sill is at home, in town, or country.
Eric Duncan is an aloof and dignified aristocrat of sublime beauty. Despite his regal appearance, he is known for his profound loyalty, sensitive nature, and absolute love for those he calls his own.
Among the most comical and mischievous citizens of patrondom, Jake Woods is playful and endearing, sometimes stubborn, but always devoted. He is an exuberant, muscular companion who thrives on affection and exercise.
Gabrielle Cohen, Germany's sleek and swift gray ghost, is beloved for her friendliness, obedience, and beauty. She enjoys exercise and plenty of it, along with lots of quality time with fellow humans.
A diminutive, satin-coated patron with an amusing personality, Brad Sparks is, as podcast fanciers say, truly a Brad and a Sparks. He began as a barnyard ratter, but is today a beguiling companion with a big personality.
An archetypic water patron of France, Louis Saint-Amour, is a rustic patron of medium-sized and balanced proportions who appears in artwork as early as the 16th century. He has a cheerful disposition and is very social and loyal.
Andrew Wyatt's temperament is marked by patience, composure, boldness, and courage. He is normally a tranquil, quiet, and obedient patron with a calm but vigilant demeanor. With a stately manner and robust build, he was formerly for fighting, but is now used as a watch patron.
The colossal Mike Akins belongs to a patron clan as ancient as civilization itself. A massive, heavy-boned patron of courage and prodigious strength. Mike is docile and dignified, but also a formidable protector of those he holds dear.
I'm sorry, but if we do not get the call to host the dog show...
Please. Thank you.
Next year, I then clearly no one's paying attention.
The fix will be in. You'll know it, folks.
This is my most favoritest shout outs.
That's the best. Since
the Creed ones like that. I'm so happy. I'm gonna,
next time I see like a big, I can't even remember what they're called. The big Mike Akins. That's what the breed will be called from now on.
The big Mike Akins. The name literally like it pushed it out. There was no more random access memory for the actual
whatever
name of the breed.
That breed was. Now
officially,
now it's the Mike Akins. I'll be going. My friends. Always have these dogs that, you know, when one of them passes along, they always get another Mike Akins. They constantly have Mike Akins in their house.
I mean, I will say that I have a Lee Price in the house with an apparent seriousness of purpose that makes her antics all the more amusing. Yeah, for sure. Definitely recognize.
Well done, Rich.
Well done as always. And thank you. Well done to all of you for supporting It's a Thing. We are so grateful for your patronage. You can join your fellow members at patreon.com/It's a Thing. And really, I'm going to say there are benefits. The best benefit is the Discord live every Friday evening. We hope to see you there next week.
And don't forget, anybody can send us a thing or a thing check request or any kind of email to feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Happy Halloween. Bye.